It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Oh, it was a yawn, but it stopped a long time ago, so. No, I'm torn. On the one hand, you are lit much better now. But it's also doing some weird artifacting with the camera, although that seems to be getting better. So maybe that was just initial connecting. But in general, I would say it's easier to see you now, but you're uglier.
Mm-hmm.
So 601.
Right.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast that isn't real anymore. It's gone. We're done. But here we are. Because we're out of emails. So this podcast doesn't exist anymore. But here we are.
We have an email.
We do. When did we get it?
I don't know.
Real recently.
Just 30 minutes ago.
Oh my goodness. We're back, baby. Good thing we recorded.
Yeah.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 611.
We probably won't get to it, though. Usually when we skip a week, we don't end up getting to anything.
Yeah, there's usually besides, a lot to talk about.
You especially. Just a quick rundown. If you've never joined us before, what episode number was this?
611?
Oh, so yeah, you take it in your sweet time. But
we didn't say what the episode number was last week.
What do you mean we?
You didn't even say I'm Tony.
Oh, well, that's a different thing, but I don't say what episode number are. Yeah, if you're just joining us for the first time, we have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And apparently one person, they'll be surprised who, writes into that email address with stuff they want to write in about, and then the hat magically on its own forwards us an email, and then we read them and talk about them when we want to. Oh, sorry, I'm very tired. I actually think I slept pretty good last night, but we're trying. I just had an appointment with the neurology clinic today, and we're trying like 12 different things at once to try and improve my apnea and my restless leg and my insomnia. And on the one hand, I'm like, cool, we'll fix some things. On the other hand, I'm like, it's too many variables at once. If stuff works, we'll never know which one was the right one. But whatever. It's been 2 weeks, and we were supposed to have lunch Tuesday. Yeah. But I flaked out hard
with David.
I flaked out so hard it stopped you and David from also having lunch. That's how hard I flaked. Like, there were reverberations of my flakiness. Not unlike a pie crust. Flakiness. Good pie crust.
Okay.
But fuck all that. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Don't care. Let's talk about how your Saturday was.
A lot of other things happened. We saw Black Adam in the theater.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I could imagine a really compelling and good pitch for that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But then they didn't make that movie.
Oh, dear.
So that's too bad. I mean, it was hidden in there somewhere. There was a really good movie, actually, hidden in there. But not good.
Maybe I'll watch it on HBO Max High or something. Who knows?
So we saw that. We watched Wednesday. Have you been hearing the buzz about Wednesday?
I just have been hearing the buzz about Wednesday. I'm pretty sure we're going to check out the first episode. On paper, nothing about it seems like my kind of thing. And then I got a very strong recommendation for someone who has drastically different taste in television than I do. But our conversation got into enough specific detail that I'm like, I should at least check it out. I also have it on pretty good authority that it doesn't have an issue with the pilot being fucked up because it's a pilot. So I'm pretty sure if anyone watches the first episode of Wednesday, you will know if you will like the show. But yeah, no, we're probably gonna, because
it's like a lot of other things, sadly, pretty derivative in many, many ways, but it is different because of her. I mean,
I've heard she's amazing.
Yeah, it's not just that. It's like, well, imagine all that stuff you've seen before. We're just gonna do all that. So yeah, it's kind of tropey and everything, but Wednesday's in it. And that it does make it different. I don't think it makes it better, but it does still make it watchable for me. Because, I mean, I like Christina Ricci's portrayal of Wednesday in the movies or whatever. She really kind of created that Wednesday. And that's really what this Wednesday is. And I think it's pretty well done. Again, it doesn't like break any new ground or anything for plot or anything like that. But it's fun to see her take on it, basically.
See? And that review, again, makes me think I probably won't like it. But I think I am at this point. Here's the thing. I don't give a shit about the Addams Family.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I do, but I know you don't.
I am sick of all the teenage dramas, especially ones in boarding schools. So I'm like, on paper, I have zero interest in the show, but I've heard some interesting things. So
as far as all that goes, it's not only is it not different, it's annoyingly the same, but she's different. I mean, you know, I don't know. And I do like the Addams Family, as you know, so it's cool to me. But if I had to guess, cause it is kind of a 50-50 thing. Cause I can imagine there might be some things you like about it. But if I had to guess, gun to my head, I'd say you wouldn't like it. But
we'll see. I am relying on a single episode because, again, people I know who didn't expect to like it watched one and they were so engrossed that they immediately just binged the rest of it.
We also watched,
were not particularly expecting to like it.
We also watched The Devil's Hour. Have you heard of that? It's got Peter Capaldi in it, and have you heard of it? I think it's the Devil's Hour. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
It's good. I can't really talk about it because it's got so many. It'd be just about everything you say about it. It's got spoilers. It's really good, and I recommend it. The other thing we're watching is 1899.
Okay. Have you heard of that? Yeah. Which is crazy. I mean, that's the Yellowstone spinoff, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Then no.
Oh.
I mean, I've heard of that year. I assume it's a year or a price.
Yeah, it's a year.
I've heard of both of those.
No, it's a year.
Okay.
In this case.
I've heard of that year.
That I'm not so impressed with. But I think a lot of people are watching it and really loving it. It's not doing anything for me.
Like,
but the
normally, you can't be bothered to remember what you watched and you are just bam, 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 bam.
Well, it's because,
which tells me you are tap dancing as hard as you can to avoid talking about Saturday.
Now, listen, I had for the first time in probably a year and a half, I actually had 4 days off where I didn't really have to do schoolwork or anything. So we just watched stuff and it was pretty awesome. Even though like I said, 1899 didn't really like, but Devil's Hour, I liked, and I think people should watch that. I think just about everybody would like that. I like Wednesday.
A film or a series?
It's a limited series.
What service?
I mean, we watched them all, but I don't think it was Netflix. Could have been Netflix.
I might.
No, I think it's been out long enough that we could just watch them all.
We'll see.
So it has to be either, if it's not Netflix, it has to be either HBO Max or Prime, because
I've got access to it one way or another.
I suppose it could be Apple Plus or Disney. Maybe it's, I don't know. I don't remember.
I doubt it's Disney. But either way, you don't appear to have any services I don't have, except for whatever your thing that you're getting Shudder on is.
Yeah, Devil's Hour is really good. Okay, so Saturday. They weren't that bad.
How early? Let's start there.
6 o'clock?
Is when you started the first one.
Well, probably 6:15-ish. Maybe 6:30.
Did you get through all seven?
Yes.
Did everyone get through all seven? Barring possibly Delmer.
I mean, yes, but I mean, there is... Okay, so Delmer, at one point, he was getting tired and he came up to me like he wanted me to, you know, pick him up or whatever. So I did. And then almost as soon as he was on my lap, he fell asleep. Well, so I sat back in my chair so he'd be more comfortable, and then I fell asleep. For like half of one of the movies, I fell asleep.
Oh, dear. Did you get totally lost for the plot?
No. But I watched the rest of them. No problem.
All right.
And I didn't. I mean, I fell asleep because, you know, I got up really early that morning.
Yeah, long day. No, don't get me wrong. I don't think I could watch seven movies in a day.
Yeah.
Just regardless of length, quality, any of that. I don't think I could, let alone seven Tremors movies in a day.
Yeah, I didn't. I've binged shows for like many, many hours, or watched a lot of
movies. Yeah. See, I never do that.
I don't seem to have a problem with that, but they weren't that bad. The first one. First, I'll say, again, I think I've explained that I am a creature feature person. I do like those, but I don't like all of them. And, you know, the creatures and Tremors are not my cup of tea. That's, you know,
the Graboids.
Yeah, I was only going to get into this so much because I'm just not interested. But the first film was actually very well made, very well crafted. I think the pitch was probably something like, imagine Jaws, but in the desert. Because that's how it was put together and that's how it was made. And it was actually quite effective. Again, you know, do I want to see it again or add it to my collection? No, but I can really appreciate how it was a good pitch and it was very well executed. I thought the first one was. The next two, well, the very next one was clearly made by people who were as competent as the first time. The script was fine. The direction was fine. But the budget was so much lower, it had problems. But it wasn't, I mean, it was not bad. Well,
the second and the third both suffered from, let's try and make, we have to build on this.
Yeah.
We can't just do the same thing again. And they used a very specific formula that's not great. Because no. I believe I've seen the first three.
Well, and that pitch I just said, Jaws, but in the desert, which is a great idea. And I think they executed it really well in the first movie. They didn't do that in the second one. Like that, they went a completely different direction. And I think people probably dropped off because of that. They had a couple actors that didn't come back. So people probably dropped off because of that. But I mean, it wasn't like these films weren't unwatchable or so bad they're good or anything like that. They just were. Yeah, just not as good as the first one. Now, the one that was set in the Old West, I loved the fourth, I think.
And yeah, I haven't seen that one.
I loved it. Now, a lot of fans don't, and I think I know why. So all the other films feel PG-13, especially since they're obviously avoiding F-bombs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why they want to hit that PG-13 rating.
And I mean, the first one was released in theater.
Yeah.
So
and the Old West,
that's the sweet spot money wise.
The Old West one, I think. It could almost have been a PG. And I think the stuff they took out of it for that, I think would make some people go, yeah, this isn't as good. But of course, I didn't mind that. And I thought it was a really good film. I mean, that's out of all of them, that's the one I would maybe buy and like watch again, because I really liked it. Because I would agree with critics if they said, well, this wasn't really in the same genre as the other films. But see, I like Weird West, and that's what it was. It was a Weird West.
I'm also a fan of that.
So I really thought it was good. Now then, so that's the first four movies. The last three were what I realized while we're watching were a soft reboot.
Ah, like they did with the Prophecy movies, where it's essentially, this is a different trilogy.
Right. I mean, there was a connection because Michael Gross was still in them.
Oh, did he manage to be in all seven?
All of them, yeah.
Nice.
And that was fun because I do like him and he did a good job. But that's what I mean by a soft reboot. They didn't like start over. You know, all the other things were still there. It's just he was in it, and obviously all those other films happened, but the design of the creatures was very different. And one of the ways narratively that they justified that was a lot of these stories took place not in the United States, right?
So these were foreigner graboids.
Right. And that gave them an excuse to make them look very different, but it also, I think, made them think, oh, we can make this big international and more cinematic, which, you know, they did those things. I didn't think it worked really, what they did, but I don't think it was because the fundamentals weren't sound. I just don't think a soft reboot of this franchise is just going to work. It's just not going to work. But they weren't bad. They weren't unwatchable, or I thought it would be torture. Like, because we saw, as I told you, we saw Pterodactyl.
Yeah.
That was awful. I mean, this is so bad it's good. Well, some people might think that, but I don't really do so bad it's good. So for me, it was just torture to watch it.
Yeah, there's a genre of movie that some people refuse to acknowledge, which is movies that are trying to be so bad they're good. And I hate those.
Yeah. Now, my son-in-law, he still likes Pterodactyl, but he acknowledged that, yeah, it's not really in the same category as these movies. And he also admitted that Velocipastor was pretty bad. I think he still likes it, but he admitted it was pretty bad.
I have found a surprisingly wide swath of people who I wouldn't expect to like it really liking that movie. So I'm still curious to see it. I still have it, but it's around. That's the thing. I want to see that movie. I never want to see that movie at a given moment. I always want to see it later. So
in the end, not my thing, but I'm not sorry I saw them at all. And I understand other people who were into it.
That's like the least satisfying conclusion to this.
I know. And I knew that was the case when it was over. But see, part of it, though, might be, we really like hanging out with the kids and
you should have done this with people that make you uncomfortable.
We basically had them over for 14 hours or something. It was awesome to have them here and to have the grandson here. And Alex is expecting again. So there's going to be another coming middle of next year.
Little Del Moro.
I don't know. We won't know. They don't like to know until the kid's born, so they won't know either. They're going to pick two names. And
I was going to say, but they'll definitely have the names ready, I'm sure. So.
Well, now, so they so had...
Del Mora or Del Moreno?
They had a boy and a girl name picked out last time, and the boy's name was Delmer. That's his, the son of my son-in-law's grandfather's name, and they were going to name the girl Freya. Well, they didn't use that one, so they still have that one in the chamber, I guess. But they have to think of another boy's name, and when they were here, I guess they haven't yet, so I don't know what they're going to do.
One of our listeners has a child named Freya. People get weird about publicizing their children and shit, so I don't want to say which listener, but one of our listeners does.
I think that's a good name.
I think it's good.
But yeah, so we saw a lot of things. Some of it was good. Some of it not so good. But that experience was overall positive. And I don't think just because the kids were here. I think I just didn't think the movies were that bad. And I like binging things. I think it's fun. So.
See, I don't, because I don't. I like. Well, first of all, my attention span's not good for that anymore. But also, I like to process and I like to remember. And both of those things are harder to do when you're binging, supposedly.
I'm just the opposite. If I stop too long between one thing and the next, I'll forget everything that happened in the
thing. I am the same, but that length of time is pretty broad.
Yeah, I forget things pretty easily.
But I do. Well, and I'm also at the point where if enough time goes by and I'm starting to forget and it doesn't make me immediately want to jump back and watch it, maybe I don't need to watch it. I don't know. I'm trying my darndest to be more and more picky on stuff. If I'm not enjoying it, I was just talking the other day. I forget. We saw some trailer and I'm like, that looks like a really good movie. I don't want to see it. I'm like, it doesn't look like it's entertaining. It doesn't look like it's going to teach me something. And it doesn't look like it's going to have some memorizing character performances. And those are basically the only three reasons I will watch things. That middle one is tricky because there's a lot of movies that teach you things, but it doesn't necessarily mean they teach me something I didn't already know. A lot of them teach me things that I'm like, yeah, no, I got that. So
I like to see good film craft too. And like, you know, I feel like the people that made, because I think it was the same people that made all of these movies. I respect them. I think they really know what they're doing. It's too bad that this is what they used all that talent on.
That is one of the things that would fall into entertaining for me. Good film craft often will make something entertaining. And entertaining can be good. It can be bad. All sorts of things. But if I'm entertained, of course, I'm fine watching it. That's the main reason I watch stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen a lot of things that, it wasn't my thing. I don't care if I ever see it again, but man, did whoever directed it was a genius, or the soundtrack was amazing, or the acting was through the roof. And, you know, so then it's worth it. Even if I didn't really like
all
it.
The Tremors movies,
they weren't bad. They're not for everybody. They're not for me, but I didn't mind. Now see now. So I told them, well, I called this our Kids Hate Us Day. And they thought that was pretty hilarious. So, you know, now they want to do that every year, some kind of
annual kind of torture. And because Thanksgiving is locked into a specific day of the week, it could be the Saturday after Thanksgiving every time.
Well, except usually I go down to the farm the Saturday after. It just wasn't this.
Yes, and that would make you happy, and your kids can't stand that. So that officially has to be our Kids Hate Us Day.
I did bring that up, and they said, well, we'll just do it the Saturday before, the Saturday after. We can move it around. It doesn't matter.
We're flexible in how much we hate you.
Right. But next time, there will be two kids when they come over.
And nine movies.
I don't know. They were throwing some stuff out, but I don't know.
Now is it nine? I think it's nine in the Saw series.
What? No. That's a whole other thing. I mean, I don't even doubt that they're well made, some of them, but.
Oh, really? I do. I doubt very strongly that they're well
really?
Made.
Really? You don't think there's some good.
Well, to be fair, I've always had huge contempt for the Saw series. And I have watched Jordan Breeding on Cracked recap the entire series over like 2 hours multiple times.
Oh.
So I have very strong opinions based on very specific stimuli about the Saw movies, none of which involves having ever seen any of the Saw movies.
This reminds me of something. So one of the most celebrated films right now is Top Gun Maverick, which I have no interest in seeing at all.
Here too.
And so I watched the pitch meeting for it.
Oh yeah.
And the pitch meeting made it seem like one of the worst movies ever. And I mean, there's like, how are people liking this film?
As near as I can tell, it's just Top Gun. And if you really like Top Gun, you're probably going to like this. And they did it in one of those rare ways where, like, they aged it up, so it's not quite as much of a throwback, but it's still just Top Gun. And the problem is, I've never seen, I've seen the first like 20 minutes of Top Gun. We, in elementary school, we had something in music class where if we did something, our reward was we got to watch a movie during school, and we all voted off of a list of movies and we picked Top Gun. And about 20 minutes in was when it came up that there was like swearing or something. And this was elementary school. So then our teacher was like, oh crap, we can't watch this anymore. I'm sorry. We're going to have to stop. So I've only seen that much, but I don't care. I loved the Hot Shots movies, which are clearly parodying the first one, especially parodies Top Gun. The second one more parodies Rambo. But yeah, I don't give a crap about the original Top Gun. So I really don't give a crap about a very late sequel.
Me neither. But I mean, it's not just people are saying, I like this movie. I mean, you hear people saying it's a masterpiece. It's this great, like, it's a great piece of film.
I definitely don't hear people saying that. And you should not hang out with those people.
No, I'm like critics, like, you know.
Those are the people I don't hang out with.
I mean, these aren't just people on Twitter or something. These are people who are paid to be critics. So they're saying these things like, wow, this is amazing. And I'm thinking, is it really? But again, if it really has all of the plot problems that were mentioned in the pitch meeting, I can't imagine not being completely annoyed the whole time by everything that's happening, because those kinds of things annoy me when I see those in movies. And it seems like it's full of
me too. But you and I are a specific breed that get annoyed by those kind of things. I actually just had a long talk with my sister the other day, because she I forget what it was. We were talking about something. And she's like, well, I really like this because I just really like supernatural stuff. And I was like, so do I, to the degree that I watch it and I get really pissed off if it's doesn't make sense, or like the plot doesn't work or the lore doesn't work. And I'm like, you and I can watch the exact same thing. And I'm like, but that's not, they said this. And so then that would, whereas my sister can watch it and be like, oh, cool, those things fly, that's awesome. And like, I am simultaneously so frustrated that she can do that, and also so envious that she can do that. I can't, that's how she can watch CW shows. I can't watch them because I can't stop thinking about all the incredibly stupid shit in it. Whereas she can watch them and even acknowledge the stupid shit, but just be so into the fantasy of it all that she's into it. And I'm like, I hate that about you. And I really wish I could do that.
I guess I'm somewhere in the middle, because like Black Adam, for example, not a good movie, but there was a good movie in there. I mean, there were moments where I was like, oh wow, that was a cool moment. Why did they not earn it? You know, why did they not craft this? So I know that there was a good movie in there, and I was so disappointed that that's not the movie that I got.
Yeah. But I don't think that's in the middle.
No.
I think that's solidly like me.
No, I got to get to the other part.
Okay.
The other part is, I wasn't sorry I saw it. I'll probably see it again. You know, because,
well, that can be a thing, but also you, years ago, I don't think you remember this. I think this is something you need to go through with your therapist. I think this is unprocessed, repressed memories. You clearly sold your soul to DC and Legendary Pictures a long time ago, and you are obligated, if not to like, at least to feel a very strong connection to literally anything they ever make. And that's got to be a rough.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
But
I don't
at
know
least
what
you got special dark powers out of it, I presume. You can set fire with your mind or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's something for me. It's something about I just like, I don't know how to describe it. What I was gonna say, but this doesn't feel quite right. But this is what I hear other people say. I just like to be in that world. See, I don't really get into the world, I don't think, the way other people do, but that's the best way I can describe it, because that's what they say. It's like,
I think
like
you
to be in that world.
Just like attractive people in skin tight costumes.
No, because like while I'm watching Black Adam, you know, I'm thinking, wow, I can't wait to see the movie where Black Adam and Shazam get together and do stuff, because Black Adam is in Shazam's whatever. And so I'm thinking of that because I don't have a problem with Dwayne Johnson being Black Adam at all. I don't have a problem with the characterization or the lore around this character in the movie. So I'm perfectly happy seeing that character be in a Shazam movie. In fact, I want to see that. That would be awesome. So, you know, I think because I'm thinking of it in a broader way, and I'm thinking of all the other characters that might interact with this character and the other situations that might happen to make new movies and new stuff, I think that helps me like it, even when those things aren't really going on. I don't know if that makes any sense.
So you enjoy the movie because while you're watching it, you can think about other hypothetical movies that you'd actually like.
That's right.
I mean,
you got it. You got it.
I mean, it sounds like a nice way to live. Like, I can't, like,
well, like,
I can't fault the concept. I would love to do that also. I don't think that's how brains work, but okay.
Like, when I can watch, one of the reasons I can watch Man of Steel is because I actually like Henry Cavill as Superman. I think the characterization is good and would work. The film itself, it buries all that good stuff under a bunch of nonsense, kind of like Black Adam did. But while I'm watching it, I can think, wow, I can't wait to see this Superman in this movie. I just imagine all the cool movies maybe that I would make. I don't know. And that
I was gonna say, because I think Henry Cavill's done all of the Supermans he's going to do, and none of them were good, I don't think.
Well, I think so
I guess you kind of like the Snyder Justice League.
I didn't not like it. I mean, it was like, see,
you keep using that term.
Well, because listen. So in my opinion,
in my profoundly sad life, a 4-hour movie that doesn't actively offend me is basically the best I'm going to get at any given moment.
Okay.
Hi, I'm William, and welcome to my masterclass.
In my opinion, Feige, what's his first name?
Kevin
Feige. His genius is, if there is any, isn't in making good films because he didn't really.
No, because he doesn't make films. So that's why.
Well, and the films aren't all that great.
True.
The genius was in understanding the sort of synergy that can exist between these films that might on average be mediocre, but because they're existing all together and you're seeing characters you like come in and out and there's a promise for something to happen, that's really what brought people in. It wasn't really the promise of the movie being great or even good necessarily. I think that he knew that people just want to be transported to that place. And if we just keep making movies that transport them to that place, they'll keep coming. And even if the movie's a flop, like some of the Thor movies were, I mean, look at Thor's a perfect example. He could have done the DC thing and quit, recast Thor or not made any more Thor movies, but he didn't do it. He knew, nope, let's just keep going. They made a second one and it was awful. Nope, let's just keep going. And pretty soon Thor is one of the most popular characters in the whole thing. And that's what DC should have done. When they hired Zack Snyder, I didn't like it. I knew he would make terrible movies, and then he did. But what they needed to do was go ahead and let him finish what he was doing and not interrupt it and just keep going. Eventually, people would get used to whatever was going on, and they'd start coming to movies just to be in that world, just like the Marvel people. Now, I think DC's movies would always have been considered second best compared to Marvel, but they wouldn't be a train wreck like they are now. And that's all they
needed
to do.
What I'm hearing
is,
the Avatar sequels are going to be just as popular as the original, and I am not happy to hear this.
I'm just saying, Feige knew he had to push on and just keep going. That was right. He was right about that, and that's what DC should have done, because it's not really about the movies being good, great, or well received, or any of that stuff. It's about staying the course and getting a certain fan base that's going to come to these movies no matter what. And he knew that and he did it right. But
DC, well, to be fair, I think DC is doing that, because with a few exceptions, actually, that's mostly Sony. When it comes to DC, the movie still made golden cocaine money. I mean,
well, yeah. That's right. And
they're all the Suicide Squad that like has become the butt of every joke ever. The original, the Suicide Squad movie, I think did 800 million.
Yeah, that's another thing. They're all making money, so just keep going. Yeah. Just keep now. And in the end, by the way, even though I didn't like most of these movies, I liked Henry Cavill's Superman just fine. I liked Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman just fine. I liked Cyborg. I liked, you know, the only character I had any issues with was Batman. And it's like, there's been lots of Batman characters that I liked. Batman. So that didn't bother me. Just one Batman character I don't like, who cares? So I probably would have loved watching the Justice League movies that they made. I probably would have loved it, but you know, it just didn't happen. So I don't know. It makes me sad sometimes because I do like DC characters and I like DC movies, and I would like for DC to have a good film property that is as celebrated and beloved as Marvel is, but it just isn't true. So it's too bad.
You and Stephen Amell can just sit around and drink his wine and reminisce and ruminate.
Anyway, how was your 2 weeks?
I don't know. I can only think about the Tremors movies now. They have not been that interesting. Thanksgiving was quite nice.
Oh, good.
My sister-in-law created a new game, or discovered a new game. She printed and laminated bingo cards that are designed for you to watch Christmas like Hallmark movie kind of thing. And so it's bingo cards of, like, you know, like estranged family member, meet cute, somebody's either a lawyer or an architect, fictional small town, like that kind of thing.
Sure.
I had a square on mine that said, if somebody actually uses the phrase Christmas miracle, things like that. And I didn't expect it to not be a good time, but like while we were doing it, I think three or four different people in the group at various points said essentially, this is really fun, including me. So, because we talked the whole time. We're like, does that count as an impassioned speech or not? Or like, was that misunderstanding ridiculous enough? Or anytime any female character did anything even slightly imperfect, I kept trying to jump because I had a square that said evil scheming female. So I'm like, did that count as evil scheming female? I can't tell. So that was fun. Because I love my mother-in-law, I watched the first three episodes of The Santa Clauses.
Oh.
Or at least I was in the room running the remote and playing on my tablet while they were on the screen.
Okay.
My mother-in-law is a big fan of the Santa Claus movies.
Huh.
I'm a big anti-fan of the Santa Claus movies.
Oh, like, really?
Like, I really enjoy how much I don't like those movies. And to be fair, only seen like one and a half of them, and not in order. But yeah, I think those movies are horrific, and I find it hilarious how terrible they are. I do not enjoy watching them, but I do enjoy making fun of them. And I also hate Tim Allen for just so many reasons. But she really likes them, and she doesn't have Disney Plus anymore. So we have our Roku TV. We also have a Roku device, and we take it most of the time when we travel. So you can plug it in, hook it up to the Wi-Fi. You got all your streaming services right there. And so we did that, and then she could watch them. But they're releasing 1 week at a time. So when we were there, they only had three episodes out so far. But I told her, I was like, we'll be back at Christmas, and the other three will be up. I strongly suspect any feelings anyone might have about the Santa Claus films will translate quite well to this TV show. I found my feelings about it not any different, except it's old enough now that I'm interested on like what actors I see and what I don't see and what new actors have gotten involved. And I'm like, really? This is where your career was? All right. So like, there's a little bit of that, but it's the same. But yeah, in general, it was a very nice holiday time. I have been having just a hell of a time. This is a thing I have now. When I travel or anything really that has me sleeping away from home for multiple nights, I have such a hard time getting my head back into regular life. So yeah, this week's just been a mess. But we have watched some things. We are about halfway through She-Hulk. And I think we are in a good place with it now. We struggled because, you know, my personal thing here, whatever. It's not a very good show.
No.
It's not terrible, but it's not a very good show. And it was a little confusing. Like, part of it is it's trying to do a specific thing and not everybody likes the thing it's doing. But it was still confusing. I was like, what's... I feel like it should be better. And then Trish had an awareness. So, oftentimes, when a show is sort of breaking new barriers, you get people who are experts in whatever sort of that is to make the show. I mean, if you're smart. But what that means is if the type of show you're making is sort of new to mainstream success and you're getting people who are experts in that, it means they have not been given a lot of experience in making movies and TV shows. So sometimes you have to say, this is a good first step to what I hope will be more of this kind of thing, representationally speaking. And Trish says this to me in not so many words. And I say, what are you talking about with this show? And she's like, feminism. And I was like, the hell? And then I was like, oh, shit. This is far and away the most feminist things Disney has ever put out. Which, don't get me wrong, is the lowest of bars. But it is true. They actually have some messaging in it that is pretty on point and a little more in your face than Disney's willing to normally do. Now, they dilute their own image with a lot of bullshit, don't get me wrong. But for Disney, it's pretty feminist.
You're saying for Disney, do you think also for Marvel?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, all of it. Sorry, for Disney and also Marvel and also Star Wars and also, I'm guessing, everything ABC has ever run. For the corporation, for what Disney is willing to let be created.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which means they probably allowed some stuff on Hulu. I don't know. But for things that we very clearly associate with Disney that have to live up to the Disney brand of not ever offending anyone at all times, it's quite feminist. And it's very episodic. While there is a larger story, it seems most everything, every episode has a self-contained story. They're only a half hour long. In general, the cast performs really well. Tatiana Maslany is mesmerizing as always.
As always.
For all that the part was not written super great. So it puts me in a place where I'm glad it exists and I can totally handle watching all of it and not even be unhappy about it. And that's as nice as I can give it. But, you know, it's something.
I don't know if we'll get around to watching the rest of it or not. We
didn't you only have like one episode left?
I think more than, I mean, maybe two.
Where, I mean, where, like I you think said, they're solid sure in the middle point.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'd already talked about Hellraiser. We already finished Over the Garden Wall. Recommend both of those things. Are we watching another TV show right now? I don't think so. Watched a movie last night. I'm watching a few movies, but they're trash. We don't need to talk about them. And I don't remember what most of them are called. And I didn't finish most of them. And I was high during some of them, so never mind. But last night, I watched, in its entirety, for the first time for me, not the first time for Trish, sober, Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah, never seen that.
The 1989 Patrick Swayze action classic Roadhouse, about a world where bar bouncers are so good at their job, they're like famous. Like, if you go to another part of the country and talk to a random bartender or even bar patron about somebody's name, not even a particularly unusual name, they'll be like, oh yeah, I've heard of him. Like, that's the thing. It's fabulous. It's an absolutely fabulous movie. I will not use the word good at all, but it's pretty awesome. It by and large has aged fine. I mean, it's solidly an 80s action movie. Like, there's a part where in the middle of like a major show of strength where like guns are being drawn and buildings are being set on fire, and we're having a moment where the bad guy can sort of just gloat, his girlfriend, who has been throughout the movie, leans over and whispers something, and he says, yeah, go ahead, you can dance. And she goes up on the stage where a band is playing and does a striptease for no reason. It's that kind of 80s. I'm like, I really wanted to hear the part she whispered. What exactly did she ask him? Because I don't know. Also, with all the will in the world, and he's a hell of a thing to look at, Patrick Swayze's character and his love interest are the single whitest and most boring couple I've ever encountered in my life. Like, they are just, I'm like, what is the spark you guys have? Oh, you're both pretty. Okay. There's some great moments where you're like, oh wait, Patrick Swayze was trained as a dancer, not a martial artist. I can see that here. That's what that is. The morality is out the window. Like, nothing makes any ethical sense. And the villain is bad on like a scale where like Looney Tunes villain creators would be like, let's pump the brakes. This is a little unrealistic. Like, he's just evil for evil's sake in just such a way. It's very much the sensibilities of a Beverly Hills Cop or something like that. Without the it's not as good as Beverly Hills Cop, don't get me wrong. It's not as funny, because that's a comedy. This one is not a comedy. This is a deadly serious bartending bouncer movie.
Okay.
It also, and it has that thing where like the bad guy has thugs, but like we it's the same thugs every time. So you start having specific opinions about certain thugs. Like, oh, he's the nice one. Oh, he's a jerk. I can't wait for him. He's clearly the badass one that's going to be in the climax of the film, is going to do the fighting. Like, you can just tell because they keep doing them over and over again. And the thing that really surprised me, I didn't know this about the movie, Sam Elliott's in this movie. And it's Sam Elliott looking younger than you've ever seen him. But it's also a plot point that he's like the oldest person in the movie. But also, and I say this as somebody who has always said, when it comes to Sam Elliott, I definitely would, no matter what sort of makeup routine he had for a particular movie. But young Sam Elliott is pretty fucking hot. Like, this is a movie full of mullets, and he's the one person who actually just has like long, luxurious hair, and then like the 5 o'clock shadow beard. And oh man, it works. I'm like, Patrick Swayze is hot, but I want Sam Elliott in this. Also, the James Healy Band plays a lot of music in this movie. Or not James Healy. It is James Healy. I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't know who this is normally, but years ago, I'm hanging around with my wife and my wife's oldest younger sister, and we start talking about maybe Dirty Dancing. I don't know. And we're talking about songs, And at a certain point, my sister-in-law says something about how a blind guy wrote some song. And I'm like, the guy you're talking about is not blind. And she's like, oh, well, then it's a different guy. And I'm like, well, that's not the guy who did that song. And she's like, yeah. And we end up having this argument, like, good-naturedly, but for like an hour. And then finally somebody looks it up on my phone, or their phone, I don't remember. And it turns out she was talking about a different person and a different song, but somehow it ended with both her and my wife thinking she won the argument. And the person in question was James, maybe it's Jeff Healey, I don't know. Healy's his last name. He is probably best known for doing the song Angel Eyes, which I think was in Dirty Dancing. What can I do? What can I say to turn your angel eyes my way? It was a big song for a while. But anyway, he's a blind dude. And he's in this movie with his band. They're playing as the band that plays at the main bar. And for some reason, they're characters, because Jeff Healey's name is Cody in it for no reason. And so you hear a lot from him, and it's a pretty nice soundtrack. It's a lot of covers, including some done by Patrick Swayze, according to the credits. But that was kind of fun, too. And it's got characters that have no business being there. It also has a very young Keith David, who, again, always found him an attractive man. When he was younger, dang, boy could get it. It's a hilarious movie. It is available for free on both Amazon and Netflix at currently. It is almost 2 hours long. The time flies by. It's a hoot. I'll just tell you right now, it's not a good movie, but there are so many things that don't make sense in it, in so many, like, oh, it's an 80s action movie ways. And in fact, I would say you could edit this down. So, like, if you took out like 30% of this movie, you could just claim it was a recast extra long episode of the A-Team. It very much has that vibe. Like, small town, evil rich guy is controlling the town. But there's a couple of defenseless people, including one hot woman, who stand up to him. And then the strangers come into town and have to kick his ass. And it has a whole bunch of, like, you take the moral high ground just long enough for them to come at you from behind, so then you have to kill them, and you still get to be the good guy. Like, a lot of that kind of shit.
Like, I mean,
it's super 80s.
You say it's super 80s, and it does sound super 80s, but it also sounds like Old West serials.
Yeah.
It just, the hot girl doesn't get tied to the railroad tracks.
I feel like the Old Western serials weren't actually trying to explain it. Like, this movie, I mean, in the 80s action movies, they would come up with the most ridiculous reasons for stuff, but they also don't. There's a lot of stuff that I'm like, I don't understand why that just happened. Like, what even was that? Why did they do that? He spends a lot of time just looking at, by sheer coincidence, our hero rents a room in the second floor of a barn that's across a river from the mansion of the bad guy. And this is before he knows the bad guy exists. He spends an uncomfortable amount of time just sort of staring over there. Sometimes there's parties, sometimes there's not, sometimes it's day, sometimes it's night. But there's just so many shots of Patrick Swayze just leaning on a windowsill, just watching him. And I'm like, you're a creeper, dude. To be fair, he then does later have sex on the roof. And the bad guy watches that. So, I mean, I guess as long as everybody's consenting, whatever. It's a hilarious movie. I would recommend it. Trying to think if there's others, because I have been watching a lot of movies, but
I forgot we watched Spirited.
Oh, how is that?
I I'm glad I watched it. I don't think I'll ever watch it again. I don't know what to say about it. There were a lot of things I liked about it. I don't think Will Ferrell either he shouldn't have been cast in it or he should have had someone else sing and he lip synced to it, because I don't think he's very good.
Oh dear.
I think it was pretty bad actually, but maybe it was supposed to be. I don't know.
I keep thinking that my greater family, like when we were at Thanksgiving and again when we're at Christmas with my in-laws and everything, I keep thinking that could be a fun one that we can all watch together.
Probably. I mean, it's
PG-13 level, and our youngest in that group now are now 15 and 18, so it's probably fine.
Octavia Spencer's in it, and she is so good.
Yeah.
In it. She's just amazing. I mean, every time I see her, I always think, oh, this is going to be good. And then it's like beyond my expectations. She's really good. I mean, I think I would recommend everybody see it. I'm not going to promise you'll like it, but I don't think you'll hate it. And you might think this was an interesting project. I mean, it was, they made some bold choices.
Is there a chance that older people might find it offensive or distasteful?
I mean, my immediate sense is no, but I hope there was, because you know, sometimes I block that stuff out of it. I don't like it.
It's mostly the, especially when Will Ferrell's involved, the odds of it getting kind of raunchy are there.
I don't think so.
And that was concern of other people, not so much that the kids would have problem, but that the higher generation would be like, I don't care for this.
I do.
It's
think
like it's a musical and shit, right? I mean,
yeah, I think you can turn it on. I don't know if it's going to keep everyone's attention, but I don't think it's going to offend anybody. And I don't know. There were lots of things I really liked about it. And other things right. that I'm like, that didn't really work. But I actually respect the effort quite a bit. I don't really like musicals, but I feel like whoever decided to do this and, you know, put up the money for it and stuff, I feel like I respect their choices to really go for it and try to make, I mean, I'm not convinced it worked 100%, but I'm glad someone tried it, because I think I think it was a worthy effort.
I appreciate it.
I think you might like it. Do you like musicals?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I think the music in it's pretty good. Like I said, Will Ferrell,
I don't suspect I'll love it. I suspect I'll be able to sort of take it or leave it. But again, it was because we're always looking for, like, what's something the whole family can watch? Because there's not a lot.
No.
Between the different families and our different tastes and our different sensibilities, it used to be, fine, we'll just watch all the kids' movies. Like, we'll watch the next Pixar thing or whatever. But now the kids are old enough that it's like, maybe we can watch something else.
I think if there was any questionable stuff, it would have been something Ryan Reynolds said or did, but I can't think of anything.
Well, I mean, my mother-in-law loved both Deadpool movies, so we're probably, no, I'm kidding. Wouldn't that be funny though? We're almost out of time. I'm saving that question from whoever it was, even though they're saving us here, because I don't know if anybody else will send anything, so we'll use it for next week. I do have one more story I would tell though about Thanksgiving. So one night during the trip, we go over to somebody else's house. That was the night we did the bingo cards with the Christmas movie. And my, like, in a few weeks going to turn 18-year-old niece is explaining to her youngest aunt, not explaining, is basically just telling the D&D campaign that they are currently, she and her high school friends are currently involved in. She, a while back, we tried to get her and the other family members into D&D, and we managed to sort of hook everybody except her. But then, of course, she went to high school and they are playing D&D. So now it's cool, but not with her family. So she plays there, but whatever. She's explaining the campaign to her aunt, and I'm in the room. And so I get bits of it. I'm curious. I'm not paying super close attention, but I you know, whatever. I'm kind of interested. I've also learned in my old age, I don't worry about eavesdropping anymore. Like, people just say shit around me, and I'm not going to feel bad for my brain having processed the noises.
Sure.
Like, if you didn't want me to hear it, it should be in a different room and quieter. Or, yeah. So I had a few of these actually on this trip where people would be saying something like in the other room, and I would like yell something in that was pertinent. But anyway, she's telling me that. And then she's like, yeah. And so then after that, we go to see Garfield at the Fantasy Costco. And I said, what? And she says, yeah. Like, we always go to Fantasy Costco to buy our new equipment and stuff like that. And I'm like, run by Garfield? She said, yeah. I said, Garfield the Deals Warlock? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, I don't know how to tell you this, but your DM did not come up with that. That is, in fact, a facet of the first campaign of one of the most popular D&D actual play podcasts out there, The Adventure Zone with the McElroy brothers.
Oh.
And she was like, really? And she thought it was funny, and it didn't last very long, whatever. It's like, oh, that's great. And then later I said, actually, Lydia, you know the great thing about this, once you confront him on this, he can play for you all the actual well-produced Fantasy Costco jingle, because it exists out there. It has all the background music as this beautiful little like supermarket sounding jingle like you'd have on a TV commercial. And she stared at me for a minute, and then she said, he said he wrote that himself. Just a second. And she gets up and starts furiously typing on her phone as she goes into the other room. To which I'm like, kind of interesting that it wasn't the plagiarism in general, but the music. But then I'm like, these are all theater kids. Maybe this makes sense. But then it became this like whole thing. And I'm sitting there going, I have ruined this teenage boy's life. Like, this is all. And he's like getting mad. She's telling me like what he's saying and stuff. And it sounds like he actually sort of put a spin on it. That's cool, because it sounds like he took the concepts and genuinely did it as like a sequel. Because, like, there's a way things end with Garfield and everything in the Adventure Zone thing. And he just sort of, like, what if then they went somewhere else? And I'm like, that does sound cool. But I'm like, I don't know about it being a thing. And then later she was talking, because in, like, a week or so, we're going to go to see what they call Madrigals, which is a Christmas musical thing that they have that's done sort of medieval style. So they all dress up in garb and they, like, feed us medieval fair, and then they sing, you know, choral music and whatever. And apparently you can get put in the stocks if you are bad. And she's like, you might get put in the stocks. And I was like, oh, I'm like, that would be fair. Give me one to do. I'm like, this is gonna be weird. Found out later. I probably won't. She's like, I don't know how to explain this to you, Uncle Tony, but there are only two people involved who know who you are, me and him. So there's probably going to be a lot more members of the Madrigal Court that have other people in mind. And I was like, that's fine. She's like, also, I know now, but he's still determined to keep it a secret from everyone else in the group. So I was like, this is awesome. Now you've got leverage. You can get whatever you want now and not tell him. But I thought that was hilarious. Also, I felt terrible because I ruined a 17-year-old boy's.
You know, except for Forgotten Realms video games, I've never played Dungeons & Dragons. I've gotten close. Like when I was in high school, my best friend's brother was into it. He always, when I came over, he always wanted me to play, but I was usually there to see his brother, and we, yeah, you know, we wrote songs together and stuff. So I was like, yeah, I'd love to play this game, but I'm here to see your brother. And lots of other opportunities to play Dungeons and Dragons, but, never played it except, like I said, except for like some video games that are Forgotten Realms, yeah, video, yeah, games that are based on.
It's a good time to try it out. The current edition is a good edition. They had some trouble in the previous one, and depending on who you are, some trouble in the one before that. But this edition is pretty nice. I mean, you know my feelings on D&D. I don't. It's not the kind of role-playing game I like. Despite the way that people feel who don't know about D&D feel about D&D, it is one of the more accessible role-playing games because it has a lot of crunch in ways that it's like, yeah, here are the rules. This is how you proceed. And in my experience with it, the role-playing and the game-playing are sort of separate in a lot of ways. They don't, this is a section where we're role playing. This is a section where we're doing mechanics, like a little more than other games. And that's not my style, but I no longer, I used to say like D&D sucks. It doesn't suck. This is a good game. There's a lot to it, and it has grown over the years into something very good. But also, if you're already into role-playing games and haven't played D&D, you can totally never play D&D, and that will also be fine.
But I mean,
it's a role-playing game.
Right, but I mean, I like playing the Forgotten Realms games. I mean, I think I would enjoy it. I look forward to the movie that's coming up. So I think I would like
I'm always of the opinion that if there's a role-playing game that you like because of the setting, and that's the only thing you like, just move the setting to a different system.
No, yeah, I know. Sure.
That you do like.
Sure, sure.
But yeah. No, Forgotten Realms is good. And there's a lot of good actual play podcasts of that. Like I said, the first campaign of Adventure Zone is set in Forgotten Realms. The very popular actual play podcast called Dungeons and Daddies, colon, not a BDSM podcast. That's a very important thing. You might like it. It's a game where everybody are playing fathers in a minivan going to pick up their kids, and the minivan gets transported to Faerun, and like some villain steals all their children, and the whole game is them trying to go rescue their children, and it's ridiculous. And one of my sisters-in-law got Trish into it, and Trish listens to it all the time now, and then I have discovered references to it from other geek things, other places and stuff. So but it's also set in Forgotten Realms. Forgotten Realms, I think, is the favorite D&D setting at this point. People really like it.
Yeah.
That's all I got. And we gotta go before William talks more about Tremors. No, we're out of time here. Thank you to whoever wrote in. Don't tell me who it was. I wanted to be a surprise. Okay. And you will save us for another week. We will be back next week. Because of you. Had it not been for you, this could be the end right here. But thank you very much for that. In the meantime, if you got time to kill this week, go to aethertheater.com and look at William's collection, life's work. I don't know what you want to call it. His shit that he leaves lying around, whatever. You can also go to smashwords.com and look up a book called Oddwings, Oddwings, by Anthony K. Parsons. That's my book. It's good. Short. Enjoy it. Cost $3. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com. We got closer. Azure Talon listened to the episode on Thanksgiving. We have no confirmation that he gathered his family around the Bluetooth speaker for it, as it should have been. Oh! I have a point to bring up. I meant to bring this up in the next episode, and here we are. So, I was hanging out with somebody who listens to the podcast the other day, and they were talking about the episodes where we got real fixated on talking about ghosts. And in particular, we got into a conversation about if science could or would prove the existence of the supernatural / God / ghosts, whatever. And they, as a big science person themselves, very much wanted to point out to me that science wouldn't do that because science is concerned only with the natural world and not anything supernatural. That's a definitive aspect of science. And I do agree that that is an important distinction to make. But my response to that is, when it comes to things that are supernatural, I fervently believe they are only one of two things. One, made up dookie nonsense. And that might be all of it at this point. And this includes gods and God and ghosts and whatever. Or two, aspects of the natural world that we heretofore have been unable to conclusively understand. Correct. And I think science could prove them. And if science did, they would not technically be supernatural. They would be part of the natural world.
That's right.
So I do still think it is possible science could prove the existence of ghosts or God. And it would just mean that ghosts or God are part of the natural world. And for the record, I have no idea how science would go about doing that. And I also don't think science would, in that I don't think any of that's real. But I do want to make, I understand that science doesn't prove the supernatural in the sense that anything science can prove is natural.
Right. There's a semantic thing going on there where it's
also
not...
prove is a terrible word.
Yes.
This
right.
kind of thing. Science technically doesn't prove anything.
It's not
science
that
it... just gets strong conclusive correlation and shit. Like
right.
That.
But whatever science is going to do in reference to the supernatural, it's not going to still be supernatural whenever it does that. It's going to find that, oh, this wasn't supernatural at all. This was this.
Eventually, if you create a set of empirically derived data big enough and following certain, matching up with hypotheses to a certain degree, then you get sort of scientific consensus on the concept. In the sense that, I mean, technically, we can't say that evolution or climate change have been proven by science, but we are at a point where the global scientific community is within a reasonable margin of error in consensus that these are real things.
Sure. And there's a preponderance of evidence too. Yes. It's like,
and there is no such thing about either God or ghosts at this point.
Well,
but if
also,
there could be or would be, then that would be a thing.
And another thing that we keep mentioning is that for those things to exist, ghosts, for example, if they exist the way people say, you're overturning a lot of science. And that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
That's a huge problem.
Yeah.
So which that doesn't mean the science shouldn't be overturned. Science has been overturned before.
And
but
truth
that's
is truth. Like,
that's the point, though. It's like, well, you know, that's why I'm open-minded about things, because I don't really know if there's a way for this to happen or that to happen. But I do what I do know. And the only thing I think we can know is that if it's an extraordinary claim, it requires extraordinary evidence.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know what that means for disproving the supernatural, any of that. All I know is, well, I'll listen to your claim. But if it is a big claim, you better have big evidence. And if you don't, I don't think it's fair for you to expect me to just believe it.
But it is true that science could never prove the existence of something supernatural, both because if they proved it, it would be not supernatural. And also because science doesn't prove it.
Agreed.
Technically, we don't have proof of gravity. We're all pretty sure at this point, but we don't have any proof. We just have a lot of data that fits in with a pretty clean hypothesis about it. At least the first part is. Later parts get more confusing as we're still learning, but you know. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that. You should go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Tell us what science isn't proving for you. And also tell us how your Thanksgiving was. And also tell us how you like Roadhouse. And also Tremors movies. And what's wrong with William this week? New segment we want our listeners to get involved in. Enjoy it. And then listen again next week where we're again going to, in more fine detail, hash out William's specific feelings about each of the Tremors movies.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.